In the name of Jesus, amen. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Tonight, bright is the heaven that is made glorious by the movement of celestial bodies. Yet brighter still is the world when the morning star Jesus Christ is rising. But the circumstances of this present night is illumined not so much by the glories that are above, as it is by the present gladness that our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, has won victory. For he says, "Do not be alarmed." Or another place, "Take courage. I have overcome the world." Since our God has conquered the seen and the unseen enemies that stalk us by day and by night, we too shall share in the spoils of his holy passion, of an immortal, mortal, and incorruptible existence, a paradise of the blessed. Let us then this night abide in the gifts of his saving cross, the word of promise that we have heard, the baptismal regenesis that we have confessed, the Sabbath rest of Jesus' body and blood that we take upon our lips and into our bodies, a pledge of our resurrection. Let us keep the vigil of this sacred Paschal night with the sacred tones, raising a holy melody and singing ancient hymns of supplication. O holy Lord, in humble prayer, we ask tonight thy watchful care. O grant calm repose in thee, a quiet night from perils free. O Lord, remember us who bear the burdens of the flesh that we wear. Thou who dost e'er our souls defend, be with us thou unto the end. I'm pretty sure that tonight, whether you are here or you are not here, that you need this comfort, given what is going on in your world, given what is going on in your life, in your home, in your flesh. We need this comfort. We need this peace when uncertainty rules the day and fear rules the night. For many of us keep vigil alone. We keep vigil in isolation. We keep vigil in small numbers. We keep vigil cut off from those whom we love. We keep vigil cut off from the company of fellow watchmen of the morning's resurrection. We keep vigil barred from the ones whom we love, who lie in weakness, and whose ears are bereft of this budding good news that Christ has arisen and he has made all things right and new. We keep vigil wondering what is yet to come. And yet, my beloved lambs, you are to look at the crucified Christ upon the cross. You are to look at your shepherd who was sacrificed for you. You are to look at him who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for you on that cursed tree. Look at your shepherd who lays down his life not for himself, but for you, that he would pick it up for you anew in the resurrection. Here, at the vigil of his death, is a grand mystery, is actually, in reality, the vigil of his life. The life of all the living. The enduring life of Christ and his sheep that are being wrestled away from sin, death, and the devil. here tonight, a tomb filled with life is resurrection promise to tombs that are filled with death, with dust and ash, with dry and lifeless bones. Yes, we sinful and straying and exiled sheep cry out with the penitent thief, "Remember me, O Lord, when you come, when you enter into your kingdom." And your shepherd responds, as you well know, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, by baptism, the dialogue between the penitent thief and Jesus is the dialogue that he has with every abject sinner, that he has with you and that he has with me. That is to say, that Jesus gladly takes your sin and your death and bears its punishment in his body. Gladly he has restored you to his Father's green pastures and to the quiet waters of a celestial city. And gladly he has brought you by his body and blood, by his very death, into an ever-living land where his redeemed flock graze and eat good and plenteous food. Therefore, I do not want you to be uninformed tonight as you keep vigil. God rests not from a work yet to be completed, but a finished work that is already completed, that he has completed for you. His cross, his descent into hell, his burial is not a funeral, is not a tragedy, but is a festive victory. The victory of Christ is not remembered as some great past act of greatness, but rather is a present experience for the body of the church. For today, the devil has been defeated by him who is crucified. And so you who keep vigil alone, you who keep vigil in isolation, you who keep vigil amid the joys and sorrows of this earthly life, you who keep vigil in the midst of night and even death and shadows and yet in the flickering light of hope, you who keep vigil in all manners of earthly life that are fallen, are yet made glad tonight by the Son who was raised by the Father to give you new and abiding life. Jesus is, as is confessed by the Holy Scriptures, the firstborn of the dead. He is the vine of a new and budding humanity. His cross fashions a new creation. Literally, if you will, the resurrection of Jesus is the raising of man in his body and in his soul. For in him we see something that we would never see, a new spectacle, if you will. A tomb is opened and a man is being raised and bones are being and are rejoicing and souls are made and men are being formed and the heavens are being rent asunder. In short, resurrection is happening. And the heavenly powers are crying out like the psalmist on Advent 1. "Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up you who ancient are doors, for the King of glory may come in." Jesus goes into your death in order to raise you out of your death. Jesus is girded with light, with the divinity of his body. And beyond the sun and the fountains of the waters, beyond the clouds and the rocky mountains, beyond all that you can see, there is the God-man, who rest in victory and smiles upon you, knowing that you are the spoils, the treasures of his holy passion. As you well know, as good and faithful Christians, he was first hidden in the womb of a virgin's flesh. And now tonight he is hidden in the womb of the earth. In the womb of the virgin, he sanctified all those who are born through natural conception, born through Adam, whose destiny is, yes, death. But in the womb of the earth, he has made alive all who are born again of water and spirit. Born not by the will of man or by flesh or blood, but by the blood of God. By the blood of his cross, born anew in that resurrection. And so sorrow and pain and groaning have fled away. For who on this most puzzling night, who on this most mystifying night has known the mind of God, if not the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was made flesh and was nailed to a tree, risen from the dead and exalted to the heavens? The Son of God knows the mind of God, for he is God. Yet he is God in our flesh in order to raise us to incorruptibility. Therefore, this night is an announcement of joy and a blossoming of new and budding life. For on this night, the Lord rose again, raising with him all humanity. For Christ was born for the sake of man, and he rose again with man as the resurrected creatures of his word. Tonight, through him who rises from the dead, paradise is laid open. The angels with flaming swords are doused by the pierced side of the water flowing from him. And a kingdom is prepared, and man is rescued from death, and Christ is worshipped with a tongue of praise and a repentant bended knee. For he trampled death under his crucified feet, did he not? He took the world's tyrant captive and stole us, his wandering and exiled sheep, by the baptismal waters that flowed from that crucified side of his. And now he is the glorious head of a new people. He has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And his father says, and he says to his father, "Behold, O my father, here I am. But here also are the children that you have given to me, that I have purchased by my own blood and by my own life. Here are the children that you have given me." And from his father he heard, "Son, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under you as a footstool. And I will also seat all your children with you." And so Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and yet at the same time he stands upon the earth, triumphant and glorified, present everywhere, having defeated the tyrant of this earth with all his minions and ministers of evil and death. And so we are glad, we are comforted, and we are kept in peace, and we are forever happy of this blessed truth. Yes, in the year 2020, we are keeping vigil alone. Yes, we are keeping vigil in isolation. We are keeping vigil in small groups and small numbers. And yes, we are keeping vigil, barred from loved ones and troubled by the many tribulations of this broken and sinful earth. And yet, in spite of that, the vigil of Christ's resurrection is the vigil of His eternal lighted life that dispels and disperses all of that. All of the fears, all of the shadows, all of the sin, all of the death. It is indeed the beginning of your new life today, though it remains hidden and unseen for a while from your eyes. Unseen, yet known by faith in Christ, this is the new day. This is the eighth day, which Christ has made happy the people of God by His holy passion. So we rejoice and we sing that Christ is the true art and light of the day, that He is the one who driveth night and He drives gloom away. For O light of light, whose word doth show that He is the light of heaven, having come down to us below. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us rise.